In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. Jesus is the man with the plan. Oh, the multitudes followed him because wherever he was, he healed the sick. There were no doctors like we have today. He healed the sick, the lame, the blind. He raised the dead. So wherever you found Jesus, you would find a multitude of people. But the poor disciples just don't get it. Let's read now from Matthew 16. Then Jesus called his disciples unto himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude. They've been following him. They've been following him. They want a touch from him. Because they continue with me now 3 days. So they've been with Jesus 3 days. He's been healing and teaching and loving these people. And there's multitudes there. And they have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint on the way. In other words, I'm not going to let them fast. They've been following me for 3 whole days. They've been with me. I have compassion on the crowd. That means that I have learned how to suffer with and for my people. And his disciples said unto Jesus, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? They forgot what Jesus did before, that he multiplied bread and fish before. They forgot. The only thing they're looking at the multitude. That's really sad, that we forget what Jesus has done. We have to call to mind the things that Jesus has done. Last week he opened a door for me. Oh yes, people would say it was already open. I don't know about that. But I do know he opened a door for me when I left my phone and my keys in the house. Oh yes, he opened a door for me. And I know the secret. The secret is keep on praising God. Keep on praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's power in praise. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, I have 7 loaves and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks to the Father, and broke them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, not counting the women and children. And he sent them away of the multitude, and he went into the boat, and came into the coastland of Magdala. I tell you, they forgot that Jesus had done all these things. I know one of the things that we do is we forget. We forget the things that God has done for us. And so we sit in the corner saying, poor me, rather than saying, I thank you, Lord, that you have opened doors for me, that you got me to St. Louis, that you got me to Albuquerque, that you got me to New Jersey. I thank you, Lord, that you have opened doors for me to preach the gospel. I thank you, Lord, that people have been healed. Someone came the other day with a migraine headache 3 days, and we just prayed very simply, and she looked at me and says, it's gone. Now, you might say, that's not very big. Well, if it was happening to you, it would be very big. If it was happening to me, it'd be very big. She looked with her eyes as big as snappers. It's gone. Hallelujah. It's gone. Praise the Lord. It's gone. Give glory to the King. It's gone. After 3 days of suffering, she just said, would you pray? I've had this migraine for 3 whole days. And the Lord did it like that. Just like that. Isn't that wonderful? chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and they desired to tempt Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. In other words, show us a sign from heaven. Last night we were at the Holy Rosary, and we received the smell of baby powder. You might say, why baby powder from heaven? Why? I said, oh, it was so strong. Well, several weeks ago, the Lord said he was birthing us. He was birthing us. We were pregnant, and the place was pregnant, and he wanted to have a real birth take place, a real revival take place. So we associated that with what he told us on December 8th. I am birthing new life in these people. I am birthing new life in these groups. I am birthing new life. And last night we smelled baby powder. I did. Ron did. Barbara did. We smelled baby powder. And we put it together and say, this is making sense. The Lord is birthing something new. Hallelujah. The Sadducees and the Pharisees looking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, because the sky is red. When it is morning, you say it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red in the morning. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Oh yes, they could discern whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day. If it's red by night, you're going to have a good day the next day. If it's red in the morning, sailors take warning, you're going to have a storm. They understood these things, but they do not understand what Jesus is doing. They do not understand why Jesus is doing it. And why is he doing it? Out of compassion. That he suffers with the crowds. But the Pharisees want him to do something that would please them. Jesus doesn't do that. He only does it to hungry people. People that know that they're in need of a miracle. Are you in need of a miracle? I am. Are you in need of a miracle? I am. Well, Jesus is the man with the plan, and Jesus is the man who does miracles. He's the Lord. We should have miracles in every church. We don't have to be going to Fatima. We don't have to be going to Lourdes. We don't have to be going to Medjugorje. I'm telling you, miracles should be taking place in every church, because we receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, because God is active. But it takes faith to see God doing something. It takes faith. And people say, why? Why doesn't this happen in my church? Where is the faith? Where is the expectation? People come with expectation, and God does wonders when they come with expectation. But you know what? We've come to know church as something that I get over with. In other words, I've done it. I got my card punched, and that's it. I'm going home, and we're going to have a roast for dinner tonight. It's wrong. Wrong. There should be great power in the church. Jesus left the church great power. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. Oh, I once met some Jehovah Witnesses, and they told me that they were witnesses of Jehovah. I said, oh, yes. Turn to Acts 1:8. And the scripture says, you shall be my witnesses, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I said, I'm a Jehovah Witness too, but Jesus is the Lord. He's Jehovah with the Holy Spirit and the Father. Oh no. I said, then read it again yourself. You shall be my witnesses, the Lord said. Who's speaking? Jesus is speaking. You shall be my witnesses. We do not witness even to the church. We do not witness to the church. We witness what God has done, what God is doing, and what we need God to do. We witness to the mighty acts of God, because he has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples came to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. These disciples are just like us. My Lord Jesus just does this great miracle. He does this great miracle to feed the multitudes. They forgot to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." These disciples are so stupid. They're just like us. When are we going to learn? Like, when are we going to learn that the Lord is our portion? The Lord is our inheritance. When are we going to learn? When we have an empty wallet, what do we say? "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Let me just tell you something. This is something very simple. I happened to find two $100 bills that were mine in the drawer last week, two of them. And the Lord said to me, "Give one away." So I did. I gave one away. Not going to tell you, didn't take the Lord 24 hours to get me another $100 bill. This is what God does. This is what God does. I'm telling you what God does. Maybe I'll get no credit for it, but I'm telling you, God knows how to do things when we're generous. God knows how to do things when we set our hearts upon Jesus. I gave that $100 away, and guess what? I got one in return. This always happens. This always happens. The Lord knows how to do things. I don't know how to do very much, but I can depend upon Jesus. I can depend upon Jesus. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 that were fed? And how many baskets did you take up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 that were fed. And how many baskets did you take up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood how Jesus made them aware that the leaven of the Pharisees was the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Whenever you see leaven, for the most part, it means sin. The leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees. Yes, they're sin. You know, when are we going to learn? How long will it take for us to learn that God is more concerned with us than we are with ourselves? How long will it take to learn that Jesus has plans for us? He is the man with the plan. There is a destiny for all of us. How long will it take us to learn that the Lord's not angry with us, but that the Lord loves us? He loves us so much that he will do anything for us. He gave his life for us. He rose from the dead for us. He sent the Holy Spirit. How long will it take for us to realize that Jesus is really concerned with every part of our life? Even the parts that aren't spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Look, money is not spiritual, but money is used for the kingdom of God. I want to use money for the kingdom of God, and I want to see God multiply. And I do not give because I want multiplication. I give because the Lord says give. Very simple. Very simple. God is in charge, and he cares for us more than we care for ourselves. And unfortunately, we don't believe. The disciples already had 2 miracles of loaves and fishes, and now they're worried that they don't have any bread. this is kind of sad. But you know what? They're just like us. God did a miracle for us, and we forget it because we've got a new problem. A new problem has come into our lives. And God did a miracle last week, and we forgot about it because we have a new problem, and the new problem seems like a mountain to us. Let me tell you, don't look at the mountain problem. Look at the Lord who is the Lord of the mountain. Look at the Lord who knows how to do everything. Look at the Lord who is the King of glory. We continue with the 16th chapter of Matthew. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" Caesarea Philippi is where they worshipped the god Pan, P-A-N. And they said, "Some people say that you are John the Baptist, come back. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" I'm asking you today, who is Jesus? Who do you say that he is? I remember teaching a sixth grade class so many years ago. I said, this is the most important question that will ever be asked. Whom do you say that I am? A prophet? More than a prophet. A king? More than a king. Who are you, Jesus? Who are you? And Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That's who Jesus is. The Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say that I am, churchgoers? Have you given your life to Jesus? This Lent, we need to give our life to Jesus. We need to hold on to the cross. We need to hold on to Jesus. And we need to hold on to the Word of God. Have you given your life to Jesus? You said, "Oh, but things are really bad in my life." Let me tell you, I know the one that can bring peace out of chaos. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What rock is he going to build his church on? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Peter, who is the rock. I tell you, he builds his church on Peter and on Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. People say it's only the message that Peter gave he builds his church on. Peter means rock. Jesus says he's going to build his church on Peter and upon his profession of faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. People say, "I don't believe that." Well, you don't have to believe it, baby, because it's true anyway. You don't have to believe it. It's true anyway. I remember a prophetic man in a tape that I was listening to. He said to Jesus, "The people are asking me, was Jesus really born of the Virgin Mary?" And so Jesus told him, "Just what the Bible says is true. But if they don't believe it, I still love them. I still love them if they don't believe it. It is true what the Bible says. But if they don't believe it, you know what? I don't take my love from them." So God is going to build his church on this beautiful saying, "Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God," and upon Peter, which means rock. "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven," Peter. "And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Christ. I tell you, my friends, how long do we have to wait to make that decision? Who is Jesus? He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Who is Jesus? He is the Lord of glory. Who is Jesus? He is the miracle worker. Who is Jesus? He is the great, awesome Son of the Father. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Only Jesus can help you. No one but Jesus can help you, for no one but Jesus knows how. Let me just tell you, start to thank God for what He has done in your life, the miracles that He has done in your life. Start to thank God what the Lord Jesus has done in your life. And rather than raise all these doubts in your mind, thank the Lord for giving you His presence and that He has done these things in His life. It's like Psalm 136. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm that tells us all the things that God did for His people. And you know what? They had to keep on remembering the things that Jesus, that the Father did for His people. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, His mercy endures forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, His mercy endures forever. And stretched out the earth above the waters, His mercy endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. The moon to rule by night, His mercy endures forever. To Him who smote Egypt's firstborn, His mercy endures forever. Who brought Israel from among them with His right stretched arm, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in parts, for His mercy endures forever. Who made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and all the hosts into the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. And it continues and continues and continues, stating the things that God has done for Israel, because what God did before, He can do again. I'm telling you to start saying to the Lord, what are the things that God has done for you? And as you remember them, you just remember that the next thing is just as easy for God to do. Just trusting in Him. Just trusting in Him. The poor disciples didn't have bread, and they had forgotten all that Jesus had done. Oh, my Lord, I cannot make fun of the disciples because we are just like them. We forget what God has done. Oh, yes, I remember some of the things God has done. Last week He opened a door. Hallelujah. He brought me throughout the world, the people to hear me on the World Wide Web. Hallelujah. When I was very, very, very fearful about something, He told me something Himself. He says, I do not torment you. Never do I torment you. Oh, yes. He also told me, because we love Jesus, the devil cannot get at Jesus, but because we love Him, he can get at us. He can't get at Jesus, so he does the next thing. He gets at the people who love Jesus. So let me just tell you, start telling the Lord the great things that He's done and give Him praise for them. And then as you give Him praise for the things He has done, then you ask Him for the new thing. God did it before, and He can do it again. God did it before, and He can do it again. God did it before, and He can do it again. For He is the Lord. God did it before, and He can do it again. God did it before, and He can do it again. God did it before, and He can do it again. For He is the Lord. Jesus has compassion on you today and on me. Oh, cling to Jesus today. Cling to the cross today. Cling to the Word of God today. And know today that the Lord loves you, and what God did before, He can do it again. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. I want everyone to read Psalm 51. Yes, read it and pray it. Not only go through it like Grant went through Richmond, but read it and pray it. This is the time for us to meditate on Psalm 51. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. During the next three Fridays, we need to receive $20,000 to pay our bills in February. So please, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And at Planned Parenthood, we're experiencing 40 days for life. 40 days for life. Will you go out and pray quietly in front of Planned Parenthood? 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. Would you go out and just pray for a short period of time? The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, she conceived by the Holy Spirit, behold the handmaid of the Lord, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.